If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14 this morning, and if you're new, or you're visiting, or haven't been here in a while, we are working through the book of Matthew. If you don't have your Bible with you, right in the back of the seat is a little black New Testament, and you can follow along in our reading in there. Pick that up and find the book of Matthew. That's the name across the top. And then chapter 14, that's the big number that you're looking for. Matthew chapter 14, and then verse number 1 down to verse number 14 is where we're going to go. Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 to verse 14. And if you found your place and you're willing and able, would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of the Word of God? Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 to verse 14. And at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show themselves in him." So Herod has just given his synopsis of Jesus' ministry. This is his summary statement of the ministry of Jesus. The summary statement from Herod is Jesus is John risen from the dead. Which is interesting because the last time in the scriptures that we heard from John, John was just in prison. You remember a few chapters ago, John's in prison and he sends word to Jesus and he asks Jesus, "Are you the Messiah or not? Are you the one we're looking for or not? Are you the promised king or not?" So now you fast forward a few chapters later, Herod hears about Jesus' ministry, and Herod says, "This is John who's coming back to haunt me because I killed him." And so what you have in verse 3 to verse 11 is you really have Herod recounting the execution of John. Okay, so he's going to tell you what happened in John's life. This is John the Baptist back from the dead. Verse 3, for Herod. So if this is a movie, it's like, 3 months earlier, and that's what that says, 3 months earlier, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And when he, that's Herod, and when Herod would have put him, that's John, and when Herod would have put John to death, he feared for the multitude because they counted him, they counted John, a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and it pleased Herod. Mark tells us that Herodias' daughter's name is Salome. So Salome, Herodias' daughter, Herodias is Herod's brother's Philip, his wife. You thought your family had problems. Okay? Are you tracking so far? It's a messed up family. Verse 7, whereupon he promised with an oath. So Herod promises Salome, he promises with an oath to give her, to give Salome, whatever she would ask. In Mark's gospel, Mark says he promised to give her up to half of the kingdom. "I'll give you half of the kingdom. You come and dance before me and my cronies, and I'll give you half of the kingdom." So verse 8, and she, Salome, and Salome being before instructed of her mother, Herodias, said, "Give me here John the Baptist head in a charger." Now that is not the LA Chargers. I want you to know that. It's football weekend, but that is not about, that's not a football reference, okay? That's a silver platter. That's what that means. Verse 9, and the king was sorry. And the king was sorry. He didn't want to do it. The king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and for them which sat at meat with him, he commanded it to be done, to be given to her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And the disciples came, and they took up the body, and they buried it, and they went and told Jesus. And when Jesus heard of it, so that was now day, this time caught up. When Jesus heard of what had happened months before, he departed thence by a ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot and went out of the cities. And Jesus went forth. He saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Simple thought this morning. A clean conscience brings clarity. A clouded conscience brings complication. A clean conscience brings clarity. A clouded conscience brings complications. Here's Herod. Herod does not want to behead John. Herod likes John. And yet Herod is caught in this moral dilemma. Herod is sorry, but Herod is executing it. Herod doesn't want to do it, but Herod is doing it. Herod doesn't want to behead John, but Herod doesn't want to look bad in front of his friends. And so Herod has this guilty conscience. He has this clouded conscience. He has this evil conscience. And it complicates Herod's life. A clean conscience brings clarity. A clean conscience brings clarity. A clouded conscience, well, that brings complications. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would use your word in our hearts and lives. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Now, this is not the same Herod that is mentioned in Matthew chapter 2. The Herod that was killing all of the children around the birth of Christ, trying to eradicate the Christ from the face of the earth. Matthew chapter 14, this is the son of that Herod. So the Herod that tried to kill the Christ, that Herod has passed away. And history would tell us that that Herod had four sons. In fact, that's what the word tetrarch means. He had four sons, and he divided between his four sons all of the kingdom. And this Herod is given the portion of kingdom of Galilee where Jesus is doing his earthly ministry. Where John the Baptist is going around preaching and teaching repentance. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This Herod is ruling in that part of the kingdom. This Herod in Matthew chapter 14, the son of the earlier Herod. So Herod the Tetrarch, as he's known by Herod the Fourth. This Herod is married to a princess from another kingdom. And while he was visiting his brother Philip, he falls in love with his brother Philip's wife, whose name is Herodias. This is why John says in verse number 4, it's not lawful for you to have her. So Herod the Tetrarch, Herod the Fourth, falls in love with Philip, his brother's wife, whose name is Herodias. Only Herodias won't marry Herod the Tetrarch because Herod the Tetrarch is married to a princess from another kingdom. So she says to him, if you divorce her, then I'll leave your brother Philip and I'll come and be your wife. So he divorces the princess from another kingdom. She divorces Philip, his own brother, and then she comes and she moves in with him, bringing her children with her, whose name is Salome. So Herodias' daughter, Salome, the daughter of Herodias, and the daughter of Herodias and Philip, which is Herod's niece, who's probably 13, 14, maybe 15 years old at the oldest, comes in front of Herod on Herod's birthday, and she dances for him. And the Bible says that while she dances for him, that he is pleased. Verse 6, he's pleased by the dance, and obviously intoxicated, obviously not in his right mind, he promises to Salome, he says, you can ask anything you want, and I'll give it to you up to half of the kingdom, which is an interesting promise to make, because he only has a fourth of the kingdom. And yet, nonetheless, he says, I'll offer you half of the kingdom, ask anything you want. Salome, being instructed by Herodias, her mom, says, give me John's head on a platter. And Herod finds himself straightway betwixt two. Herod finds himself in a rock, in a hard place. If this were a cartoon, there'd be an angel Herod that would show up on this shoulder, and there would be a demon Herod that would show up on this shoulder, and they would both start trying to talk Herod into one decision or the other, and you really feel the weight of that. Verse 9, and the king was sorry. The king was sorry. The king was sorry. Why is he sorry? Well, Mark teaches us he's sorry because he enjoyed John. He enjoyed listening to John's sermons. In fact, when he arrested John, he would frequently go down to the prison. He would pull up a seat and he would ask for John to preach to him his own personal sermon because he enjoyed John. He was so entertained by John's sermon and by John's preaching that he would sit and he would listen like one-on-one sermon. Imagine that this morning. It's just you and me in here. We say, now we're going to get really specific this morning, okay? It's not you hiding behind, 400 other people, 500. It's just me and you. And this is Herod and John. And so John calls Herod and Herodias out on their sin. And he says, what you've done is a violation of the word of God. You're violating the word of God. It's not right. It's not lawful for you. You're breaking God's law. And Herod hears that message. Herod goes, that is great stuff. You see the problem, don't you? Herod hears it, but Herod doesn't live it. Herod knows it, but Herod doesn't apply it. Herod listens to it, but Herod still lives his own way for his own purpose. And because of that, that brings him to these contradictory places. It brings him to complicated places. He really wants to get rid of John because John's annoyed by him, and yet he's entertained by him. He really wants to get rid of John, and yet at the same time, he can't get rid of John because he knows the people like John. He really wants to get rid of John, but he's really entertained by John. He doesn't really want to get rid of John, but Herodias wants John's head. He doesn't really want to get rid of John, but he's written a check with his mouth that now he has to cash with his own kingdom because he is led astray. He's led into this predicament. Why? Because he listens to the word, but he loves the world. He listens to the word, but he loves the world. Three ideas of how to see this in Herod's life, and then hopefully how we see it on ours. Notice number one, it began as a concerned conscience. It began as a concerned conscience. The message from God to Herod is, it is not lawful for thee. So listen, for our conscience, the world would tell you, let your conscience be your guide. Let Jiminy Cricket be your guide. Let your conscience be your guide. But listen, for your conscience to be trustworthy, your conscience must be programmed by the scriptures. For your conscience to be trustworthy, your conscience must be programmed by the scriptures. Herod's conscience is not trustworthy. Why? Because Herod's conscience, Herod's internal decision-making success is not guided by the scripture, it's guided by whatever's popular. It's guided by whatever's liked. It's guided by whatever's in at the time. It's not profitable for Herod to execute John because the people in town think John's a prophet. So to execute a prophet would look really bad on your record during an election year. So don't do that right now. You understand the predicament he's in? I mean, you don't want anything bad on your record during an election year, so don't execute John now. Herod's conscience is not guided by the scripture. Herod's conscience is guided by whatever's popular. Herod's conscience is guided by what's ever in. Herod's conscience is guided by what everybody else thinks. He's sorry. He doesn't want to execute John. And yet, for Herodias' sake, for Salome's sake, and for the sake of his dinner guest, he doesn't want to look bad. And so now he beheads John. Why? Because Herod is not guided by his conscience is not guided by the scripture. His conscience is guided by whatever brings him approval, by whatever is popular, by whatever is likable. And by the way, this is the essence of sin. The essence of sin is when you and I are living in direct conflict with God's word as it relates to every area of your life. We think of sin as like really big things, lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, really big. These are really big sins. But listen, the essence of sin, the most basic understanding of sin, is a violation, an opposition to, going directly against what God in His Word says as it relates to every area of your life. Not just as it relates to your sexuality, not just as it relates to your relationships, not just as it relates to your job, but even as it relates to your money. You knew we'd talk about money at some point. Even as it relates to every area of your life. The essence of sin is I hear the word, I know the word, I know what God wants from my life in the word, and yet hearing the word, knowing the word, seeing the word, understanding the word of God, understanding what God asks of me, I don't want to do that. I don't want to bring my life in line with God's word. And so the essence of sin is living in direct conflict to God's word. And by the way, when we live in conflict to God's word, our lives get complicated. Sin complicates life. That's letter A. Sin complicates life. Life gets more complicated the more we try to wield our own way, the more we try to get our own pleasures, the more we live for ourselves, the more difficult it becomes. Life is difficult apart from sin, but life is way more complicated when sin is introduced. Listen, life inside of marriage is difficult. Life inside of marriage, where sin is present, where adultery is happening, it's even more complicated. It's even more difficult. It's even a farther stretch. It's even more of a struggle. Look, sin complicates life, and the promise of sin, oh no, if you get this, life is good. If you get this, life is easy. If you get this, all your problems go away. And yet, when we got what we thought we wanted, we didn't want what we got. Sin always overpromises and underdelivers. Sin always overpromises and underdelivers. God never underdelivers. He always overdelivers. That's what we talked about even earlier this morning. Oh, the good gifts and perfect gifts that come down from the Father above, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Sin complicates life. Letter B, obedience to God clarifies life. Sin complicates, obedience clarifies. Sin complicates, obedience clarifies. Listen, watch this. Here's Herod going and listening to John preach. And multiple times a week, he's going and listening to John preach, and yet there isn't repentance, there isn't obedience, there isn't yielding, there isn't submission, there isn't turning, there's hardness. Listen, the preaching of God's word leads you to one of two places. It leads you to a repentant heart, or it leads you to a hard heart. The preaching of God's word leads you to one of two places. I mean, I'm talking about right now. Like, as you listen to the word of God as it's preached, as you listen to the word of God as it's taught, the preaching of God's word leads you to repentance, or the preaching of God's word leads you to hardness. Herod is listening to John. He's entertained by John. He likes John. But he is not yielding his life to the message of John. Listen, Herod's problem is not with the man of God. Herod's problem is with the message of God. Herod's problem isn't with John. Herod's problem is with God. Listen, your problem isn't with me. Your problem is with him. You may take it out on me, and that's fine. I'm tough, kind of. Just don't say too hateful of things. Your problem isn't with me. Your problem is with the word of God. Your problem isn't John. Your problem is the message of God. And if Herod would have yielded his life, if Herod would have repented, if Herod would have said, you know what, John, you're right. I'm living in direct violation of God's word. It is wrong for me to take Herodias as my wife. I repent of my sin. I ask God to forgive me. Guess what? God would have forgiven him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The message of God is there is forgiveness. The message of God is there is grace. The message of God is there is forgiveness for sin found in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The message from the man of God is actually a word from God. And yet Herod, sitting listening to the message, is not brought to a repentant heart, is not brought to a changed heart, is not brought to a heart of faith. His heart is hardened. His heart is hardened. The preaching of the word of God, even right at this very moment right now, is leading you into repentance, or it's leading you into hardness. Which is it for you? Which is it in your heart? It's first a concerned conscience. Sin complicates life. Obedience to God clarifies life. Listen, your real problem with sin is not that it has messed up your life. Your real problem with sin, the real conflict, is not John or Herod or Salome. The real problem with sin is not that you are not getting what you want now. The real problem with sin is that it has brought you into conflict with God. Well, if I wouldn't have done this, everything would be good with my wife. If I wouldn't have done this, everything would be good with my husband. If I wouldn't have done this, everything would be good with my kids. No, the real problem with sin is not that it has messed up your life relationally. That's an evidence of sin. That's a proof of sin. That's a consequence of sin. The real problem is not that it's messed up your life relationally. The real problem with sin is it's messed up your life spiritually. It's not that it's damaged things horizontally. It's that it's damaged things vertically. It's damaged things between you and God. It's a concerned conscience. Number two, it's a contradicted conscience. Herod is the best example of somebody who has one foot on this side of the fence and one foot on this side of the fence. He's the best example of somebody who's trying to walk both lives. He's trying to live both ways. He's trying to do his religious, spiritual thing on Sunday, but is going through the rest of his week doing his own thing, living his own way, having his own spirit, hey, calling his own shots. Herod is a perfect example of somebody who has a foot on this side and a foot on that side and is trying to walk in both worlds. How many of you know this does not work in any area of life? Like, can you imagine if I go to my wife, Amanda, and I get on my knee. I told you this story before. I wrote her a song that only Amanda will ever hear me sing. It was Justin Bieber-esque, man. I'm telling you, it was up there. I wrote her a song, I slipped a ring on her finger, and I said, Amanda Marie, would you marry me? And she said, of course. No, she said yes. right? She said, yes. And imagine, after I slipped the ring on her finger, she said, yes. Imagine I stood up and go, now listen, we'll be married 2 weeks out of the year or 2 weeks out of the month. 2 weeks out of the month, I want to be single. How many of you know I'm going to get co-cocked right across the face by Amanda if I say that? She ain't having none of that. How many of you know that? It doesn't work in any relationship. A foot on this side of the fence, a foot on that side of the fence doesn't work in a marital relationship. Listen, I love you. I just don't want to spend every week with you. No, it doesn't work. No, the message is I want to spend every week with you for better, for worse. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, forsaking all others except on the weekend, and keep myself only for you and a few other people. How many of you know she's done? She's done with me at that point. And yet, as it relates to our relationship with God, what do? We try to stay on both sides. We try to walk both sides of the fence. We try to live in both ways. And Herod is a perfect example of that, with this contradicted conscience. Notice why his conscience is contradicted. It's two reasons. Follow me. It's two reasons. Number one, it's contradicted because he's listening to the prophet of God, and yet at the same time, he's living for the pleasures of the world. His conscience is contradicted. Why? Because of two things. A, he's listening to the prophet of God, but he's living for the pleasures of the world. Why is he contradicted? Why is he brought to this place where he's feeling sorry and yet he's executing John? Here's why. Because he's trying to live on both sides. He's contradicted on the inside. He really liked what he heard. He really liked what he heard, but he really liked what he felt. He liked what he heard. Watch. He liked what he heard from John. But he liked what he felt when he watched Salome dance. He liked what he heard from John, but he liked what he got from Herodias. Are you following me? Are you with me this morning? He's trying to listen to the prophet, but he's trying to live for the pleasures of the world. And it's contradicting him. You can't live that way. No man, Jesus would say, no man can serve two masters. For either you'll love the one and hate the other, or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. Listen, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't be married 3 weeks out of the month and then live like you're single 1 week out of the month. It doesn't work that way relationally. It doesn't work that way spiritually. That's not how this works. He's listening to the prophet, but he's living for the pleasures of the world. And so Herod does the unthinkable. He lets his stepdaughter dance for him and his cronies. She comes in. She dances for him. And you read this passage and you have to go, what kind of person would lack this kind of self-restraint? Who would let this kind of thing happen? I'll tell you who let it happen. Somebody who's listening to the prophet but living for the pleasures of the world. See, the old-time preachers, all the silver-haired people in the room will remember the statement. The old-time preachers, they would say it like this. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. See, you know what Herod's trying to do? Herod's trying to control this. Herod's trying to box this up. He thinks he's good. I've got this under control. John in prison, he can't go anywhere. He can't cause me any more harm. I got Herodias, my brother Philip's wife. I think it's funny the Bible calls her that. Like forever and all the record of history, for all of eternity, that's not your wife, Herod. That's Philip's wife. And it's not lawful for you to take her to your house. And now he's contradicted. He's conflicted. Why? Because he's trying to balance these two things of listening to the prophet and living for the pleasure of the world. Listen, some of us are right there right now. And it's not working. Right now, your heart is just being ripped this way and that way and this way and that way. You're hearing the message of God and you're going, I know that's right. I know that's good. I know that's from God. But I really like what I feel when I watch Salome dance. I really like what Herodias offers me. Herod is contradicted. Herod is contradicted. The conflict that must have raged in the heart of this king. He's the king, but the little girl is calling the shots. He's the king. He's the one with power. He's the one with the palace. But the little girl is the one calling the shots. And you see how he's pulled now? You see how he's conflicted now? You see how he's contradicted now? Maybe this is the same for you. Here you are on a Sunday morning listening to the Word of God, but trying to live the rest of the week any old way, any old thing. Trying to compartmentalize your life, saying, okay, Sunday's God's day, but the rest of the week is my week. Someone coming to church on Sunday but living in adultery the rest of the week is going to have a contradicted conscience. He's sorry, but he didn't confess. He's sorry, but he didn't change. There is a sorrow in the world, the Bible says, that worketh death. There is a sorrow that leadeth to repentance, 2 Corinthians. There's a sorrow that leadeth you to repentance, but there's a sorrow that leadeth you to death. And the sorrow that Herod is feeling, I'm sorry, but it's working death. It's working death in his conscience. Number three and the last one. It's a corrupted conscience. Well, what happens to Herod in the end? What happens to Herod in the end? He gives in and he executes the prophet who Jesus said, there was no greater prophet born of a woman except John the Baptist. Herod executes the man that Jesus tagged as the greatest prophet ever born. Wow. I don't think you want that on your record. I don't think you want that following you for the rest of eternity. And yet, that's what follows Herod. He's a corrupted conscience. Notice this. Two things about his corrupted conscience. Here's why his conscience was corrupted. First, because he silenced the Word of God. You know what Herod did? Herod finally got to the point in his life. He said, I don't want to listen to this anymore. And you know where a contradicted conscience will bring you? You cannot live with a contradicted conscience. You cannot live one foot in, one foot out. You cannot give yourself on Sunday to God, but to the world and your own lust and your own pleasures and your own sinful desires the rest of the week. You can't do that. It won't work that way. It leads him to a corrupted conscience where Herod beheads the greatest prophet ever born of a woman. He silences the word. Sooner or later, your contradicted conscience, sooner or later, your troubled conscience will terminate you. Sooner or later, listening to the word, living for the world, sooner or later, it will bring you to a place where you're cutting off the word. You're walking away from the scripture. You're walking away from church. You're walking away from God. You're walking away from anything that reminds you of God, that reminds you of good, that reminds you of grace. You're plugging ears and you're saying, I don't want to listen to that. For 2 Peter says, and having our conscience seared with a hot iron so that we're just hardened to it. Now all of a sudden the Word of God doesn't strike a chord. The Word of God doesn't lead us to repentance. The Word of God leads us to hardness. How does chapter 14, how does this happen? Who lets a 13-year-old girl dance in front of them and their cronies and then offers to give her half of the kingdom? Who does this? A man with a corrupted conscience. That's who does it. And what about Salome's mom? Where is she at in this picture? Where's Herodias? How proud is she of her daughter now? As she comes walking down the hallway with a platter with John the Baptist's head. Isn't this what the Bible says? The Bible says she delivered. She brought, verse 11, she brought in a charger the head of John the Baptist. Herodias's corrupted conscience sends her daughter, she sends her daughter into a room to dance for a room full of drunken men, and she's okay with it. Herod's corrupted conscience beheads the prophet. Herodias's corrupted conscience sends her 13-year-old daughter to dance for a room full of drunken men. And what about the dinner guest? What about the politicians? What about those in power? What about those senators? What about those men with power who are Herod's guests? What are they saying? They're saying nothing. They're sitting quietly, hands in the pocket, letting Herod and Herodias do this awful, horrific thing, not just to Salome, not just to this 13-year-old girl, but do this awful, horrific thing to the prophet of God. I find it interesting. Nobody in the room stands up and says, hey, do we think this is a good idea? Hey, do we think executing the prophet of God is going to get us to a good place? Nobody in the room pushes pause on the button and says, whoa, whoa, before we do this, let's think about the ramification. Nobody does that. Why? Corrupted conscience. Corrupted conscience. The only person who had the boldness to tell Herod he was wrong was John the Baptist, who Herod threw into prison, and now Herod is beheading him. The only person who had the courage to stand up was John. A clear conscience brings clarity. A clear conscience brings courage. A clear conscience brings peace. A clear conscience brings peace. Hey, Herod, think of me what you want. Take my head if you want. Take my life if you want. I'm ready to see God. I got a clear conscience. That's John's attitude. That's John's spirit. You know what's interesting about Herod's, the end of Herod's life? He silenced the word. That's letter A. Letter B, he's scared of the news. He hears of Jesus. That's John. That's John's ghost. John's coming to haunt me. Isn't that funny? It's a ghost coming to get you. Hey, the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. It's First Responders Day, so it's a good opportunity to insert a reference to the show Cops, right? Bad boys, what you gonna do, right? We should have had that as a special music today. That would have been great special music today. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. I'm driving down the 5, the 405, the 710. I see a police officer. I hit the brakes. Why? Because the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. Because I don't want to get pulled over and given a ticket. So we slow way down, hands at 10 and 2 or 11 and 3 or whatever they're supposed to be, eyes forward, phone away. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, because I know how I drive when I don't see the police officers. And I'm always running. I'm always fleeing. Hey, listen. Herod now, why is he in this position? Corrupted conscience, silence the word, scared of the news. That must be a ghost. That must be a ghost coming back to get me for all the things I did. You know what's interesting? The end of Jesus' life, Jesus is arrested. Pilate, he's arrested in Jerusalem. He's taken to see Pilate. Pilate learns that Jesus is from Galilee. Herod is in Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover. Herod is in Jerusalem. So Pilate, when he finds out that Herod is in town, Pilate says, I don't want to deal with this court case, so I'm sending Jesus to see Herod. Because, listen, Herod, he's your problem. So he sends Jesus to Herod. And the Bible says Jesus shows up in Herod's room. And Herod asked Jesus all manner of questions. Herod, who wanted to see Jesus so bad, he asks Jesus all manner of questions. And you know what the Bible says Jesus does to Herod? He answers him, not a word. Now finally the man who Herod had heard so much about is standing in front of him as a prisoner. And Herod is asking him all manner of questions. And Jesus is standing there silently. You know what that teaches us? It teaches us this. That while God is speaking to us through His Word, we should respond before the time comes when we can no longer respond. When God speaks to us through His Word, we should respond before the time comes when we can no longer respond. Our God is a forgiving God. Our God is a loving God. It doesn't matter to me this morning. It doesn't matter to God this morning what you did this weekend. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's how good, that's how great, that's how wonderful our God is. We've said this over and over. It doesn't matter. You've been a hitman in the mob for the last 10 years. You ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. God will forgive you of your sin. But there's coming a time in all of our lives where we will not be offered that forgiveness from God. It's called death. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, after death, the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. The sin in your life that's complicated your life has not complicated your life relationally. It's not just complicated your life financially. It's not just complicated your life personally. It's deeper than that. It's more than that. It's complicated your life spiritually. But receive forgiveness from God while you can. Listen, God's grace is made available even for you today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Herod hears the news of Jesus. He listens to the word of God, and he silences it. Why? Because his conscience is corrupted. And you're here this morning. You hear the word of God. You hear the news of Jesus. My offer, my invitation, my begging, my pleading, my message, my point for you this morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's one way to God. That's through Jesus. There's one door to God. That's Jesus. There's one way to forgiveness of sins, and that is through grace alone, in faith alone, in Christ alone. It's not your goodness. It's not your good working. It's not your morality. It's not your civility. It's not your religiosity that will get you in good standing with God. The only thing that will bring you into good standing with God is the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what should we do? What should Herod have done? He should have turned from his sins and he should have believed in Jesus. What should you do? What should I do? We should turn from our sins and we should believe in Jesus. Remember how it started? News of Jesus came to Herod. Herod said, "That's the guy that I killed. He's coming back to haunt me." Listen to verse 33, same chapter, verse 33. Listen to the disciples' confession of who Jesus is. "And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And certainly Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's born of a virgin. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He offered himself freely as a sacrifice and payment for your sin and my sin that we owed to God. He took on himself, only he did not stay dead. On that cross, they laid him in a grave, and 3 days later, he rose physically, literally from the dead, and he ascended to heaven, and he ever intercedes on our behalf. He is the one that we ought to live for. He is the one that we ought to worship. He is the one that we ought to believe in. He is the one that we ought to follow, because he took our place on our cross, then gave us a way to God so that we might be saved. That's it. A clean conscience brings clarity. A clouded conscience, a corrupted conscience, a contradicted conscience complicates life. So is the invitation for you this morning. If you're here this morning, you've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. My invitation to you today is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now, today. In just a moment, our pastors will be standing here at the front. We would love to take the Bible and show you from the Bible how you can know that heaven is your home, how you can know that your sins are forgiven, not because what a pastor says, not because what a church says, but because what God in his word says. If that's you this morning, that's my invitation to you. If you're here this morning, you know your sins are forgiven, but maybe you've allowed sin into your life, and now that sin has complicated life because you're listening to the prophet, but you're living for the pleasures of the world. You got a foot on this side of the fence, you got a foot on that side of the fence. It's really complicating your life. My invitation for you today is flee. Run from these lusts of the world, the lusts of the flesh, because it leads to death, and live only for God and according to the Word of God. And where your life's decisions are in direct conflict to God's Word, abandon them, forsake them, repent of them, and live according to the Word of God. So maybe for you this morning, that's the decision you need to make. And I don't know where you are individually, but we would love to help you in any and every way that we can. Let's stand together. Let's have a word of prayer.